Welcome back to episode 193 of Tall Boy Radio. And as we always say, who knows where it goes when the beer flows? Well, that's exactly what we're going to be talking tonight, the flowing of the beer and people who do enjoy consuming it. So speaking of a man who enjoys consuming beer, Gazza?
Yeah, thanks, Adam. Evening all, evening the world. Adam, I think, has just hit the nail on the head. We love a good podcast. We love beer. So why not combine the two and let's have an absolutely fantastic podcast talking about beer. Can't see what could go wrong with it. But no doubt if you've listened to previous episodes of ours, we will always have a left turn or two along the way.
We will indeed. And if you don't know what can go wrong, stay tuned and find out. So first of all, let's introduce our guest tonight. So as we said, we're not just going to be sampling beer and talking about beer ourselves. We're going to be talking to a man who knows a little bit about beer himself. Did you want to say hello? Did you want to give us your name as to how we can address you? And tell us a little bit about what you do.
Yeah, hi everyone. I'm Ruku and I'm basically a beer reviewer. So I review a world of beer on YouTube.
Indeed, indeed. And for those who are watching this live, you will notice, and hello Stuart Willis, thank you for joining us, that there is something unusual about your beer reviews. So should we cut to the chase right at the start then? Because there is something rather unique about this, and that is, and you're not the first guest that we've had who wears a mask, but do you want to tell us a little bit about that, dude? Because it's a little bit different.
Hang on a minute, someone's copying me? What the hell?
He wasn't a beer reviewer, to be fair.
He wasn't a beer reviewer, no.
Oh, okay, so I'll let him off then. Yeah, well, the mask is basically because I thought it was a good marketing ploy. So I looked at a lot of beer reviewers out there and everyone's just, you know, sampling the beers and stuff. So I thought, you know, what can make me stand out amongst other people? What's going to make me more memorable than the next beer reviewer? And yeah, I just thought, let's do something a bit different. So I just found this mask and that was it. The rest was history, basically.
Okay, nice. And do you have a whole repertoire of masks or is it just one in particular that you wear?
No, I've got about four. So I've got this one. I'm wearing the traditional black one. I've got a bright luminous green one, bright luminous orange, and of course a bright pink one as well.
Beautiful.
Lovely stuff. Well, the first thing that struck me about your beer reviews, obviously with a mask.
Yeah.
Now, taking it back a few years, guys, you'll remember this. Man versus booze. Do you remember that, dude? It might be before your time, so we don't know your age. Yeah, so he was a guy who drank ridiculous amounts of alcohol on YouTube and posted those videos. Is that you? Was that you?
No, I'm not sure who that was, but it definitely wasn't me. I can say that for sure.
Yeah, well, the thing is, nobody knows who he was, so he came and went very quickly, didn't he?
Yeah.
Posted about 15 videos, achieved a fair bit of notoriety, because I want to say he downed like an impressive amount of beer. No, well, he did. He did beer, but he necked like a bottle of Jack Daniels. He necked like three bottles of wine and stuff like that in a stupid amount of time. Like it was crazy. So no, it's definitely not you then, no.
No. But as I say, I'm not very good at, despite what people may perceive me as, I'm not very good at necking beer and especially necking a bottle of JD. If I did that, I'd be on my arse.
As with many of us.
Yes.
As with many of us.
Yes, that is the right reaction to that. Yeah. Go on and tell us. So what first attracted you to the idea of reviewing beers online?
Well, it goes back a bit of a way. So obviously it's a bit of a story, but I'll shorten it just for the time's sake. It goes back to when I was a teenager and found my first ever real decent beer that I actually drunk was Duvel. And from that moment, I really got onto these high strength beers, these different beers. And I thought, what else is out there? You know, I've had this one specific beer, didn't know nothing about it. I couldn't tell you what it was, but I liked it. And I thought, there's got to be more out there. So my aim purely for, you know, and forgive the rest of what I'm going to say here, because I know it's going to be a hit and miss thing. But a lot of us English are arrogant. We only drink what's in the pubs. So we'll only drink Stella, Bud, Heineken, Foster's, all the usual rubbish. And I thought, maybe I can educate someone or educate people in general that there is more to beer than just these standard beers that you see in the pubs. And I thought, why not start a YouTube channel? Why not start trying these for those that want to see it and, you know, try and educate people along the way. And fingers crossed, people will go out and try these beers, you know.
No, absolutely. And we've done a couple of podcasts in the past where, in a previous guise. You know, we almost were a beer podcast, really, in one of the sort of incarnations of Tallboy Radio. And it's strange because Andy, who is one of our co-hosts, and he's having a little bit of a hiatus at the moment and hasn't been with us for a while, but he sort of, I suppose it was him that introduced me to, in particular, sort of Belgian beers. He'd lived over in Belgium for a while and was talking about all these beers, and sort of Adam has had a much wider sort of variety of beers that he drunk than I did. So I was a bit like yourself, you know, you end up starting to drink what your dad drinks. So if your dad was a bitter drinker, you started drinking bitter. And if he's a lager drinker, and something, start my song then, but yeah, so you would drink what you only knew. And Andy sort of introduced me to a couple of sort of the Belgian beers, and I got a bit of a taste for it, and now love the sort of the, I suppose, the craft beer sort of market as such. And I sort of haven't looked back, really, and if I get the option of a sort of, I say craft beer, but quite a strong beer, I actually much prefer drinking a strong beer, but take it a little bit slower and actually enjoy the drink as opposed to just chug it down, you know, which is like, yeah, you, as you said, you know, your Fosters, your Heineken, your Bud, you know, it's like chug away. Whereas actually, you know, I mean, I've got this, I don't know if you can sort of see that. So I've got a shoot, which is about, is it what, about 8%? And I really enjoy that beer. So, but it was, I swear it was Andy really that sort of got me started. And then, I mean, he's you know, sampled way more beer than I have. And Adam think sort of tries to drink pretty much a different beer every podcast if he can. So he's up to 190, whatever it is at the moment. So 243rd beer on the podcast. There you go. And I don't profess to be anywhere near that. But but it's strange, just picking what you said in terms of just, you know, you start drinking what, I suppose, what the people you go out with drink, but there's so much more out there. So I'm really curious to know, like, how do you select your beers? How do you go about sampling which ones you choose, which ones don't you choose? Are there any that you would absolutely sort of put number one, or, you know, do you rank them? What are your personal thoughts? There's loads of questions I've got for you. But I suppose the first one is, how do you actually select the beers that you're going to review?
So quite easily, to be fair, I always look for, first of all, something a little bit unusual. So I'm going to take the example of, you've got a Le Chauffe there. So I would look at something like that. I'd look at where it's from. Obviously, my channel, I'll go back and just have a look, see how many different countries I've done. So, for example, I may have uploaded about 5 or 6 different German beers in a row. So I think, okay, I won't select a German beer. I'll go for something different. So Belgium, whatever, you know, whatever I can find.
Yeah.
Then it goes on, obviously, I know it's going to sound cliche, but the style of the bottle and obviously the artwork, and if it catches my eye and I think that looks quite interesting, then I'll read a little bit about it and see what the percentage is, maybe where it's brewed, who makes it, and then also importantly is the cost. So for me, money's no object. I'll just buy whatever I want and spend God knows how much on beer, a little bit too much, but you know.
There we are.
And then from that, obviously, that's when I will literally, in my beer reviews, what you see is literally, can't think of the word, I review these first time around. I don't practice these reviews. I don't initially do them beforehand and then redo them. So what you see on my reviews is literally me, apart from buying them online or buying them from the supermarkets, I will literally that time on that video have just sat down and I'm literally sampling it for the first time, literally about 90% of the time.
Oh, okay,
that's cool. That is a good way of doing it. So you get your honest first experience. Yeah. You've got no sort of preconceived ideas of what that beer is like. So you mentioned now, you talked about the tube. So like as Gaz mentioned, our pal Andy, who sometimes does the podcast with us, he was very fortunate. He lived in Brussels for a good long time. So, you know, that's where he got his first love of Belgian beer from. Belgian beers, then, I mean, they're renowned for their quality. What's your favourites amongst those? Which is you know, if you're not reviewing, what's your go-to beer with them?
Oh, I've got too many. I'd probably say Chimay Blue is one of my favourites. Don't mind Left 9. I really like Left 9. If I can get it, West Verlinton as well. Got to have our Westy 12. Yeah, they're sort of my go-tos. More quads, I suppose you could say.
Yeah, that's it. The stronger, the better.
Yeah, and it's strange because, again, you know, Leffe, depending on how you pronounce it, Leffe, I would say, again, was we went down to London and it was probably on the first, and I'd seen it around in various bars and stuff, not really tried it. And myself, Adam and Andy walked into a, think it was a restaurant or something, and they had left. And he was like, I'll have one of them. Oh, I can't believe they got that. Oh, I'll have one of them. And I went, oh, go on, I'll try one of them sort of thing. And tried it. And we're like, oh, my God. Like, it's a game changer. Oh, yeah. It's absolutely bloody gorgeous sort of thing. And I would probably put that as one of my favourite drinks now. You know, but it was Andy and his knowledge of the Belgian market and stuff. But, yeah, I would definitely class Leffers. And obviously Duvel. And, I mean, we can talk about loads of stories with Belgian beers, can't we? And various drunken stupors.
We can. Yeah, we can indeed. So Stuart's asked us a question then. And what his question is, what is your take on artisan beer? So I think what he's referring to there is the craft beer market. So, like you say, the beers that you'll see in pubs, your Foster's, your Carlin's, Carlsberg's, all those sort of things, they've been a steady fare in British pubs for many, many years. But now you're seeing bottle shops crop up, which sell like these fantastic beers, different flavours, different strengths, different types of beer that you wouldn't see before. What do you think the saturation point is of that market? Are we at it?
I mean, I think we're, to be honest with you, I think we're neither at the end or the beginning of it, because going back 5-6 years ago, I believe was the first wave of sort of craft beers. You know, they were coming out and people going absolutely mad for them, and then kind of leveled out a bit and everyone was a bit like, yeah, craft beer is good and all, and then there was not much said about it. And then I've noticed lately it started to go a bit more world beerish, and now it's starting to come back to the craft market again. So I think, you know, with craft beers, it really depends on who the brewer is and obviously what wacky styles they have, because obviously, you know, yourself, there's like like a full English flavor or something like that, and people go mad and want to buy that, or you know, a sticky toffee pudding flavor and people go and buy that, and then next week it's like just a standard New England IPA and they go, no, well, that's a bit average. So the market dip again. But again, I think it depends on where you're selling them, who's drinking them, and obviously what's being brought out. But at the moment, yeah, I think we're at that stage now where it's starting to come back again. You know, I believe it's on the up again, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the biggest challenges, obviously, is the pound is a little bit tighter for a lot of people at the moment in terms of your cost of your electricity bills, the fact that people are probably thinking about heating the house this winter and what have you, and the cost of running a car ain't cheap at the moment. So these beers are a luxury item, aren't they? That's for sure, in terms of, you touched on earlier about the cost of them. What, you know, give us an idea of some of the prices you've paid then for these beers.
Do you really want to know?
Yeah, but I just hope my wife. Yeah, hope my wife don't listen.
Right. Okay. So to date, which I'm not going to give too much away because I've got it. There's two in the pipeline, and hopefully, should I get the right filming and obviously the right number of people to help me with this, there's going to be two beer reviews coming up. One of which was the most expensive to date, and that was about 70 odd pound a bottle. But this, again, this ain't your normal beer, so I can't really go into too much detail. I've spent, I think, on the world's strongest beer, which was 73, I think it was now, 73.5%. I spent about £40 a bottle on that. Lower end of the market, about £2-3 if you're going to buy like a standard can for £2-3. So, yeah, I've got my range is very, very far and few between.
Can I just echo what Stuart has just said? And what Stuart's just said, that's crazy. Absolutely amen to that. You can always buy your own shit for that. It's like £170, is that what you said?
Yeah, but when you see what you get for £170.
I think the most I've spent, well, the most expensive one I've had on here was £35, and that was the Attila the Hen.
Yeah.
So the strongest beer that you mentioned, is that snake venom or something like that?
Berith Fire, which I think it's from, well, I know it's from Scotland, but I think Berith translates to like dragon or something in Scottish or some shit. But that's very similar to Snake Venom. It's not really a beer, if you know what I mean. It's got the added alcohol into it, so it's pure flat, very, very strong, burns your mouth and stuff. And
yeah,
and I only got that because, thankfully, a fan of mine on YouTube actually saw that this beer was out and then ended up messaging me and said, by the way, Ruku, there's this beer that's like 70-odd%. Please do me a favour. Can you go and buy it? And I said, I know nothing of it, you know, but thanks for telling me. Within about a day later, this guy comes back to me, sends me this link and says, here you go. This is a link to buy it. I'm not sure if it's in your price range. I understand if you don't want to buy it. It's £40 a bottle. And I was like, okay, I'll look into it. Within about 30 seconds, I quickly looked it over and went, yep, that's going in the basket. Ordered it. Days later, there it was, you know, and I'm sitting there chowing down on a World's Strongest beer again. So, yeah, that was a good day for me.
Wow. So in terms of the drinks that you sort of like, and you know, you talk about your standard Belgian beers, German beers, whatever, you know, if you were out on a night out and it was a steady night, not one that you're just chugging, would you be looking at an 8, 9, 10% beer, and you would have, is that the sort of strength you go for, or would you be looking more at like your 12, 13, 14%?
Well, again, that does vary. I mean, if the place that I was at, for example, had those kind of beers, then absolutely I would be going for sort of, well, I usually work my way through the beer menu. So what I tend to do when I go to like bars and stuff, there was a place in Covent Garden in London called the Porterhouse. So if you haven't been there, recommend anyone to go there, because they do a world of beers in there, 3 stories high, loads of different stuff. And I will just work my way through a menu. So even if I go into Witherspoon's, I'll work my way through the menu, and it will just be like, they've got this unusual that's quite strong that I like the look of, and I'll just literally just work my way through it. So, you know, I'll start on, say, a 5-6% out, and then gradually just get higher and higher until, you know, I've either...
You fall over.
Or I fall over, yeah. So it could go either way, really. But touch wood, I've not fallen over too much. So, yeah, I can pretty handle it. So that's not too bad.
Fair play. And do you watch other people's beer reviews, by the way? Do you look at the likes of, like, JB does his, the Northern Southerner review, and then John Nicol does his on Facebook? Do you watch those at all?
I do, yeah. Yeah, I don't watch as many as I should, but I do watch quite a few different beer reviewers, because I like to get their take on things. And I've, especially from the American beer reviewers, which I've got a few that I do follow and watch regularly, you know, they don't get a lot of these beers we get, and vice versa. So for me, I like to sort of see what their take is on like an American beer, you know, that we might not get. And then I've noticed like 5-6 years later, we end up getting that beer, and I think, oh, blimey, they really liked it. You know, I'm going to pick up a, you know, bottle or a can, and I'll give it a go, and then I'll end up reviewing it. And then when I look back on it, I think, okay, completely two different sets here. You know, they've said it's like really hoppy and juicy and fruity, and then when I'm trying it, I'm like, okay, it's a bit mediocre, I like it, but it's nothing special. So, you know, I do like that comparison, you know, and I do like to see how people rate these beers, especially.
Yeah. So who are the guys, was the Pub Time guys, drinking Leff, was it? And then they asked what it was, or was it them? And then they went out and tried to sort of source it, and then had a bottle of it. Was it the Pub Time guys?
So Ryan and Brad, we'll give them a shout out from the Pub Time podcast. So they saw some Leff and some Delirium, and the Golden Drac was the one that they particularly liked. But also they mentioned a beer to us that we hadn't come across, which was Voodoo Ranger, which now you can pick up in Waitrose.
Yes. Yeah, again, that's an American beer. Yeah. So they've had that out for years. And again, similarly to what I've just said, you know, I've seen people review it. Everyone seems to like it. I've not heard a bad word about it. But again, it's on my list to get. So eventually I might get around to trying it and reviewing it.
Yeah, I must admit, I thought it was pretty good. But I was in the States in the summer and I had a Voodoo Ranger. It was a tropical one. And it was a little bit stronger. It was about 9%. And I tell you what, it was an absolute belter. But I'll tell you one beer I did have out there that was absolutely disgusting. Pickle beer.
Is that the same category as the sours, like the Duchess?
No, in terms of how bad it tasted, yeah. It
right, yeah.
But no, so it was literally a beer with pickle juice in it. And it, you know, like tipped out of like pickle gherkins. Blech. And it literally, you might as well just drunk straight out of the can of gherkins. I couldn't finish it. It's one of the worst beers. No, it categorically is the worst beer I've ever had.
Beer, like, who's buying this stuff, you know?
Well, that's it, yeah. I bought a 4-pack of it, and like I had one, and my cousin had one, and that was it. No, neither of us finished it. I don't know what happened to the other two. I think probably
he'll get the dog.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, the dog's pissing him off. He can have that, yeah. So the other beer that Gaz mentioned there, I'll be interested to know if you've had that, and that is the Duchess de Bourgogne. Have you tried that one?
I have, yeah. I didn't like it at all. didn't like it.
And I absolutely hated it, pal. I honestly, we were down in London and the barman, we sort of tried, I think it was Andy's recommendation or maybe not recommendation, but he said he'd heard of it. So we went into this bar and the bar, we were like, well, did we say three of them? Or I don't know whether Andy had something different. Me and you had one and we opened it. Honestly, it was like drinking Sarsen's vinegar. It was awful. And literally I had one sip, put it on the bar, and the barman, to be fair to me, goes, he said, you don't like that, do you? And I was like, no, I really don't. He went, do you want to change it? I was like, yes, please. And fair play to me. He basically let us change it. And it was the worst drink I've ever. And I've tried it once, I think, subsequently. Were we over here one
time? Yeah, of course.
And I think I've tried it once, and it was just as bad second time around.
Yeah. So when he tasted that first time, did you think, there's got to be something wrong with this? This shouldn't taste like this.
Yeah, literally, it just went straight down the sink. I had about one mouthful, and that was it. I was like, nah, can't do it. And it's going down the sink. And I very rarely do that. I mean, even if on my reviews you see me struggling with a beer that I don't like, I at least try and finish it. But that, I just couldn't do it. I was like, no, that's going down the sink.
Yeah, I'm with you there, pal. Like, nah, not for me.
It's bad. It's bad. They actually do a couple of versions of it now. They do a chocolate cherry. And the cherry, and I'm telling you now, the chocolate cherry ain't so bad. I finished that one, and that's not too bad. I promise you, it's worth a try if you can get your hands on that one. So Ian Bethwaite has commented, and he said he would recommend a pairing of Leth with cube tea sprinkled with celery salt, which is, in his words,
a classic combo.
A classic combo, yeah. So is that something you considered for your channel? Because we've talked about doing an episode on this. Pairing beer with food, is that something you do?
I have done it in the past. There's only probably about one or two videos, I think, even on my channel where I've done food with it. But the reason why I don't do food pairs with the beer is because I don't get a lot of views on it. You know, it's as simple as that. People, that's a good idea. I know there are probably a lot of people out there who, you know, want to do that and see that. But for me, it just doesn't work. You know, I don't get the views. People don't tune in, so I don't bother doing it.
Yeah.
That's fair enough. Yeah,
it's shame, really. But you
obviously mentioned sort of Duvel, depending on how you say it, Duvel. Is that, would that be one of your favorite drinks? And it would that be in your top 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? Or do you just have a soft spot for that because that was really the first one that sort of got you into drinking the type of drinks that you drink?
Yeah, I do like it. I do drink it, and I will drink it quite often. But for me, you know, I can always take or leave that. You know, it's something that I always come back to, because for me, and I don't know if this is just me or whether this is applies to other beer drinkers, but I can't just drink the same beer. So as much as I love Duvel, you know, I could drink loads of it, and I have done in the past, I will still change, you know, my palate. So I'll get bored of it. And after, say, 4 or 5 bottles of the stuff, I'll go, oh, I want something different. And I'll end up changing it to something different and then not touching Duvel again for maybe a month to maybe 2 weeks, whatever the case, and then I'll have something else and then come back to the Duvel again maybe like 3 months later.
Yeah. And it's, I always find that, you know, historically you'd go out and when you were a kid, you'd have a pint of Carling there, and then you'd have another pint of Carling and another pint of Carling and you'd just stay on that drink all night. Whereas, so my palate has been sort of opened up to lots of different things. So you think, well, you go out for a beer and actually the first one I'll have this, and then the second one I'll have this. And, you know, the age old adage of, oh, don't mix your drinks and stuff, yeah, bollocks to that. You know, it's like, go out and just try like 2, 3, 4 different things, because you think, well, that, you know, there's a lovely 5% there, there's a lovely 6.5% there, there's a lovely 8% there, where, you know, just go out and try, you know, lots of, I mean, we were fortunate enough when we went up to Edinburgh, didn't we? We found a couple of lovely little craft place bars, and we, you know, we would quite happily sit there and just try 3, 4, 5, 6 different types of beers, all at sort of 6, 7, 8. And some of them just selling thirds, halves or whatever. Mm. But we love just going out and tasting them, really.
Yeah, I do. So another type of beer that sort of appeared on the market, I guess, like Gaz mentioned there, the pickle beer, and also maybe the Dutchies fall slightly into that category as well, is sour beers. I mean, they are very fashionable at the minute. What's your take on them?
Can't stand them. Cannot stand them.
I mean, I
get the concept and I get the idea behind it, but I just can't understand why, because I want a beer that I enjoy. I don't want to be sitting there sipping on this beer with a screwed up face, you know, my tongue getting dried out, going, you know, what is this? It's like, I might as well just open a packet of Warheads and just eat them and be done with it.
Andy regularly puts an arse of WhatsApp group, and he literally will say, oh, I'm out for a drink tonight, lads. And he literally will post a picture of Sarsons. And it's like, oh, right, okay, you're on a sours again, are you? Sort of thing. It's like, yeah, okay. But I'm with you, pal. I don't see the appeal of sours. You don't mind the odd sour.
I hate it.
Must be really hate it.
But my question is really with sours is, at what point does it, you know, not just beers, but maybe some heavily flavoured beers, and I do enjoy heavily flavoured beers as well. At what point does it stop being a beer and being like a flavoured drink?
Yeah.
I don't mind. Like I say, I'm not a big fan of sours. I do like a fruit sour. But we have another question from Stuart, has chipped in. Do you go to beer festivals and try the different beers?
Sadly not. I don't get time. I really don't get time. I'm juggling two jobs, you know, and when I'm not, I'm probably spending my time asleep or literally just going out trying to get as many beers as I can for future review. So sadly, yeah, I don't get time to go. I mean, I'd love to, but yeah, I don't get the time.
When you say you go out and you sort of source, you know, your beers, are there specialist importers that you go to? Are they sort of basically just tap rooms and bar rooms sort of locally to you? Or have you got a particular supply that you use that you have to then import them in from?
Well, no, not really. I mean, it's all the above. I mean, to be quite honest with you, I'll get it online. So whether that's directly from, you know, the country itself or whether it's a third party. You know, I also go to, I'm quite fortunate that I've got a little craft pub down the road to me, so I can just pop in there, buy some drink and take it away. You know, I don't have to sit there and drink it. They bottle it up for you and, you know, you can take it. There's obviously supermarkets as well. You can buy them there as well. So if I ain't got time and I just want a quick, cheap beer that may be trending, you know, I can go in the supermarket, grab it, job done. So for me as well, I also go to various different places. So I go to like a lot of Eastern European stores as well, like Romanian stores, Lithuanian stores, Russian stores, you know, things like this. And you'll always find something good in all of the above because you're not looking at just one supplier, because I've done that in the past where you just look at one person or one supplier and it's pot luck if they've got a certain beer that you're after. So if I went and said, I want to a nice quad, they're going to go, well, sorry, mate, we don't have those, but we'll get them in about 2 months' time. But in the meantime, here's a beer for you. And you're like, I don't want that. I want a fucking quad. So
for
me, it's just, you know, I'll go elsewhere and I'll just scan as many places as I can to find whatever I can, basically. And that way, you've always got a supply.
Yeah, absolutely. I must admit, I used to work next door to a Polish store. I tell you, I used to get some cracking beers from there. Yeah, definitely. So you've talked there about your process about making a video. You've talked a little bit about like when you're making the where you make your selections from. So you've also, and this is interesting, when we reached out to you and asked you to go to join us on the podcast and we sent you the link to StreamYard, which we use, give them a quick plug, might give us some money off, probably not. And so you do live streams then, do you, every now and then?
I used to. I don't as much now. And I used to do a thing called a Sunday chill. So, and I don't know if this applies to everyone, but just hear me out. So on a Sunday, I'm pretty sure, you probably know, if you're not hungover, Sundays are boring as fuck. There's nothing on the TV. All it is Priro, fucking Columbo, Murder, She Wrote, and all the rest of it. And I sit here and I think, I'm bored as hell. I need something to do. You know, there's not many places to go on a Sunday. Places shut early. So I used to do a live, you know, Sunday chill, which would consist of basically me doing the live stream, having a few drinks, and then just seeing who pops on and then just having a just general conversation with people. And to the point where it got quite popular after a while. And then I just stopped doing them. I don't know why I stopped. I think, you know, life just got a bit busy and I just stopped doing them. Yeah, I used to talk about all sorts of topics on there and people were welcome to come in and have a drink or not, or, you know, just have a chat or vent off their anger for, you know, maybe something that happened during the week or whatever. So, yeah, it was a real non-judgmental kind of chilled session where anything went, you could talk about anything and just yeah, just in have fun, really.
Well, that's an idea. It might be an avenue we can
explore. When are you doing the next one?
And we'll get away from the beer for a little bit, but we will obviously get back to it because we do enjoy a beer. So Cameo then, dude, tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, yes. I need to plug that more, actually. I've not had time to plug it, so it's still in the early days. Yeah, I love doing impressions. I've always, since I was young, been able to sort of mimic certain people and things like this, and it's just made people laugh. And I thought, I'm not charging a lot for it. I think I'm only charging something stupid like £7, I think, for my services on Cameo. So for those that don't know, it is a video streaming service. So I will be on there. You'll pay me £7. Give me some information on what you want said, or, you know, if it's a happy birthday or whatever. So just for example, happy birthday to, I don't know, Dave, who's 45 today. Can you do that in a voice of, say, Stewie Griffin? He loves football, but he hates Arsenal or whatever. Can you get that in there? So I would then go and think of something to say, maybe write a few notes, and then I will just put on a voice, i.e. in what they've requested, and then give them a little message, have a bit of banter in there, and then hopefully they go home happy and it's theirs to keep. So it will go to their email address and they can access that anytime and share that with all their friends as well.
Brilliant. You do know what's coming next, don't you? You're going to have to do an impression for it. You're going to have to.
Okay, so Stewie Griffin's quite easy, you know, he just gets right off of it, you know. So here I am on a podcast talking about beer, yet I'm an infant, would you know? So don't tell Brian or Lewis or even the fat man.
Brilliant. That's very good, that is, dude. That is very good.
Well, ironically, I do have a little bit of an underground podcast for it. So every Sunday, I do a Stewie Griffin podcast on the app Podbean. And
Oh, really?
Oh, nice.
It gets out of hand. We talk about absolutely everything. And a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about various sex positions. We've got really filthy. So yeah, it's proper adult stuff. So yeah, if you're thick skinned and you like, you know, your banter and you're not scared about what goes on, then it's definitely the place to come and have a laugh.
Go on, give it a plug then, dude, so our listeners will hopefully maybe be able to find that.
So Podbean, so as in like baked beans, it's an app free to download from your app store. Download it, get yourself a username, and I come on every Sunday at our time, UK time, would be 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And in America, depending on where you are, I know in Texas, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. I also believe Canada's around about 8, 9, 10 in the morning, something like that. Yeah, you know, come and join it. And it's under the Stewie Griffin Sunday Show. And it's basically me ripping the hell out of people and just chatting a load of crap, basically, and just having a good laugh.
That sounds like what we do every Tuesday night.
Yeah, dude, I have to keep an eye out for that.
No, but just one of the things just I wanted to ask you really was, in terms of the beer, and just go back to the beer for a minute, are you always looking for a different beer to review? And if so, I'm not saying you're ever going to run out of beers, but have you ever sort of reviewed a beer and then gone back so many episodes later and actually change your mind and thought, well, actually, when I first tasted this, I didn't really enjoy it, but now actually my palate's changed or I've sort of got used to it. So how does that work? Is it always a brand new beer or will you revisit ones?
Yeah, I do revisit, but again, that's very rare.
Yeah.
But like you've just said, off camera, when I'm not reviewing them, sometimes I do go back to a lot of these beers and I do try them and my palate does change. And it's a bit I thought was okay. You know, after sort of maybe 3 or 4 cans later, I think I've got the taste for this now. It's actually growing on me, you know, and I think actually that's quite good. And I might go back and review it later on, you know, maybe if I haven't got time per se to upload a video or if I haven't got enough, you know, pre-records, then I'll do a revisit just to fill the void so people don't get bored on YouTube. Because if I don't post for a while, as you guys probably know, you know, subscribers drop all the time, so they don't stick around. So I have to keep posting content somehow, so that kind of fills the void for me until I can quickly go out, find a new beer, and then go and, you know, review that one instead. So yeah.
So obviously, in terms of new beers then, and sort of beers from the world, I mean, are there any sort of hidden gems as such. I mean, obviously, we've talked about sort of Belgium, we've talked about Germany, we've talked about sort of American and potentially sort of UK. Are there any sort of hidden gems? I mean, I'm thinking like far-fetched beers from like, I don't know, like Vietnam or New Zealand or wherever. You know, where's the most sort of exotic beer that you've sort of reviewed and actually enjoyed?
There's a few. I mean, there's a few hidden gems. Lithuania are very good. There was a beer from Greenland, which I can't get ever again. It's very hard to get. And that was made from the ice cap water. So they physically had fishermen that used to pick the ice from the caps, take it, obviously use that water. So in a sense, I was in that beer. When you drink it, you're basically drinking like the world's oldest ice.
Yeah.
And that was beautiful. It's 4.5, so it wasn't strong. And it was a very dark, not blacky, browny colour. Like, it was a weird one, but it was so fresh, so clean tasting. You could taste the quality. It was just so good.
And you said that's not available anymore then?
Well, you can still find it, but it's very, very hard. I think I imported it about 10 years ago from Germany, and that cost me a bomb and a leg. So, and that was before all this, you know, postage was about, you know, the taxes and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, Africa as well, Benin. The country Benin, they've got a nice one.
Oh, yeah.
A Wazoo Dark, that's quite nice. Yeah, parts of Africa are okay, I guess. But with the African beers, they're more watery. So they're more, they substitute flavour and strength because of the climate. So they go from a first quencher than an actual flavoured beer. Like, you know, sticks on your palate, I suppose.
That makes sense. That just makes sense with their climate, I guess. So Stuart's asked another question. God bless him. And he wants to know, and maybe I don't think you're local to us, but Cheshire beers, have you had any good ones? If not, then we could perhaps recommend a couple.
I don't think I've had any Cheshire beers, to be fair. Not off top.
No, we've got, well, obviously, I mean, Robinson's a Stockport, which is kind of Cheshire, aren't they? Are they great at Manchester? Yeah, great Manchester. But yeah, and they don't do many good ones. And...
yes,
but we've got Tatton beers around here. They do a cracking beer called Viper. But also, Stuart, this might be worth for you checking out as well. Just over the border into Stoke-on-Trent, Titanic, they do a cracking plum porter. Have you had that one just out of interest, the plum porter?
I've had some plum porters, but not from that region.
No, if you ever see that one, it is particularly good. They started doing it about 10 years ago, and it really has changed the fortune of that brewery. You know, don't get me wrong, they were selling their beers, but it literally is 90% of the beer they produce now is their plum porter. It's proved to be that popular.
I've known Adam for probably longer than I would care to admit to, and actually the plum porter is one of his favourite drinks, and he does really, really, really enjoy it. And the Titanic, they've actually just opened up a sort of bod cafe sort of near us, and they do it on tap, and Adam will always have that when he goes in there. And it is the other one is, I was thinking, it's obviously Bear Town. She's got Congleton, so Bear Town do a couple of decent ones, don't they? So
funnily enough, we've got some Bear Town in the cupboard to have in a few weeks' time. Yeah, so the other thing as well with beer that we have to touch on as well, sometimes, you know, against the more Carling-like drinkers, gets craft beer drinkers a bad name. Beer snobbery, dude, it's definitely a thing, isn't it?
I believe so. And I think that only comes with, experiences on beer and how much beer you've actually drank, you know, the styles, the variations, the flavours, you know. And when you've done all that, I believe that's when you start to turn a bit snobby, because then you think, oh, you know, the pub will only do Stella and Foster's and Carlin, and you walk in and go, oh, fucking hell, is this all they've got? It's a load of fucking shit. You know, where's my, you know, Golden Drax? Where's my Lachosse? Where's my Duvels? You know, and everyone's like, what the fuck are you talking about? You're like, trust me, this beer is crap. You know, you want to get some real beer, you know, and then people look at you and go, all right, snobby. And you're thinking, no, no beer, you don't, you know, you're drinking this water, you know. So,
you've
got
him off now.
Yeah, I am. I didn't expect to provoke that reaction. Well, I get you. I know where you're coming from. Here's a question then that I'd be interested to get your opinion on. Beer in different glasses, dude, is it a thing?
Yes and no. I'm on the fence with this. And I know, again, the science behind it is very simple. Obviously, you've got your beer glass, and obviously the styles and the shapes do play a role in it. For example, a chalice glass.
Yeah.
is designed in such a way that it also traps the aromas under like the rim of the glass. So when you're, as you're sort of putting it to your mouth, you can't help but smell the aroma. So at the same time, you're getting the aroma and the taste. Whereas when you look at the wheat beer glasses, such as Erdinger glasses, they're tall, thin, and they bulb out at the top. Again, similarly designed to catch the aromas. But being in a tall glass, it allows it time to settle and for the sediment to hit the bottom, obviously providing you're putting the whole bottle in rather than keeping the sediment. So that gives it time to settle. But if you used to just put that in a normal glass, I don't think it'd make much of a difference. But again, depending on the etching as well on the bottom of the glass, you know, if you're going to pour a wheat beer in a well-etched glass that's not a wheat beer glass, you're going to have pretty much 90% head, 2% beer.
Froth all over the place.
Yeah.
Where do you stand on sediment then, dude, just out of interest?
I always drink it, to be honest with you. I always keep them separate. And I don't know if you've seen in my reviews that every time there's a wheat beer or any beer in general that's made with wheat, it might not be classed as a wheat beer, but if it's got wheat in it, it will still work. Or if it's a second fermentary beer, that also works. So I always keep, you know, the sediment in one bottle, and I have the glass of just pure beer, and then I'll try that, see how that goes down. If I like it, great. I'll have a little swig out of the bottle. If I don't like it, I won't mix it. But if I do, I'll always mix the two, give it a good old swish. And 9 times out of 10, it tastes pretty good. So, yeah, I'm all for the sediment, really.
Fair play, I'm squeamish.
Yeah, you're not sure.
No, I'm a bit funny about stuff like that. Yeah, I've seen some places, though, where you can get the beer, and they'll do it same as you say there. They'll pour the beer out, and they give you a shot glass afterwards to shoot the sediment, what have you. But no. I'm a bit funny about stuff. But yeah, it's a good job I'm not female. Like, we'll leave that there. The other question I had to ask as well, beer snobbery, was beer temperature, dude. What temperature do you drink your beers at?
I'm off the top of my head, I always memorize roughly what it is. So like a stout, I'll always have quite room temperatured. Any Belgian beer, I usually have quite warm sort of room temperature or chilled. And if it's things like a Pilsner, it's always chilled. So like Pilsners, Budweiser's always in the fridge. Quads, room temperature, especially in a dark place as well, keep them out of light because it does affect the taste. So, well, supposedly. So yeah, it all varies, but yeah, I tend to drink them accordingly. So
how do you go on with, and I don't know what your sort of friendship group is like in terms of their knowledge of beer and stuff, but how do you go about sort of educating your friends, your social circle, your family in terms of what you've just said? So, because my assumption is that like the majority of the UK, they'll just chuck all the beers in the fridge and then they just go and select one. And so how do you, I suppose, spread the word that it's a bit like wine, I suppose, you know, people will kill white wine and yet red wine is room temperature. So how do you go about sort of explaining that to non-beer drinkers?
Well, for a start, I'll ask what they're drinking. So they might just say, oh, you know, cut the cans of this and that, and I'll say that's fine, you know, that's cool, put them in the fridge. And if I do get someone that's a bit more adventurous, someone's a bit like me that's quite willing to try different beer, you know, I'll say to them, you know, for example, don't put that in the fridge, keep that room temperature. And they look at me like I've lost the plot, and they're like, what do you mean room temperature? It's a beer, man. And I go, no, because the way it's been brewed, if you put it in the fridge, the flavours aren't going to develop. And I said, if you want it to be the best, you'll be fine. And they go, oh, okay, you know, I don't really want a warm beer. And I'm like, just trust me, just go with it. And if you don't like it, then come and complain.
and do they? Do they come back and go, oh, actually, you know, or do they turn and go, actually, you know what, you were right, because at room temperature, I actually tasted it much, much, much better.
Yeah, so touch wood, it's all been complimentary, but I always give them a little test and say, next time, go and buy two of the same beer, keep one at room temperature, shove one in the fridge, and you'll see the difference.
Yeah.
That sounds like a test we can do on Tallboy Radio.
That sounds like another podcast.
It does, doesn't it? I like the sound of that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Where do you stand on that one then, guys? Because you're drinking Lechouf Belgian Ale.
Yeah.
Have you chilled it?
I have slightly chilled it. It hasn't been in the fridge for a significant amount of time. So it's not one that I would put in the fridge and then, you know, two days later I would drink it.
Mm.
It's slightly chilled, so I suppose it's between room temperature and, a full-on fridge beer sort of thing.
Yeah, see, I have had that feedback that Ruku's kindly given us there, but I am terrible for that. I will chill the beer. So the beers I've had tonight are sat in the fridge for 48 hours. Don't get me wrong, they probably need to with the type of beers they are, although... So I've had the Aunt Bessie's, which is done by Northern Monk, the Sticky Toffee Pudding and Custard Porter is what I'm drinking now. First beer I had, which actually did have a slight green tint to it, was the Aunt Bessie's Apple Crumble and Custard Pale Ale. And I got to tell you, both of those are actually really quite enjoyable. I thought this one was going to be too thin to be enjoyable when I saw the percentage of it. But actually, this one ain't so bad at all. I've really enjoyed it. Now I've got the roast dinner brown ale left to try, so I'm going to make this last a little bit longer because I'm not looking forward to it.
So, Rocky, just in terms of sort of Le Chouf, depending on how you say it, so would you chill that? Would you not chill that? Is that one that you would drink at room temperature, slightly cooler than room? What would you do with that?
Yeah, spot on. Slightly cooler than room. So I believe around about 8 degrees, 10 to 8 degrees would be about right, yeah.
Yeah. You see, he's told me I'm right. He's
no,
told me.
I can't argue with that, dude. I can't argue with that. So here's another thing then. Here's another thing that is getting more and more popular. If you go around pubs and bars now, there's always a cocktail menu. And I've just seen them creeping in more and more and more recently. Beer cocktails like Corona Ritas, Boilermakers. Where do you stand with those, dude?
I'm not a fan. It's all Americanized. The Americans have done this to us. They've got things like, you know, the hard seltzer or whatever they're called. They've got Corona, like tomato or something, tomato chowder in it. I'm just like, no, I can't. Again, you're. It's not really a beer. If you're going to start adding in vegetables into a beer, it really ain't a beer, is it? It's just a stew, let's be honest. So, you know, I don't like the idea of that. And I've had a few and I still don't like them. I can't like them. I've tried, but I just can't.
So what about something like, I'm just trying to think, so something like a Desperados that has tequila in it?
Yeah.
So does that work? Do you like that? Is that something that you think, oh, actually, yeah. So then you think, well, if you put tequila in it, would you put something else in it? And so on and so on and so on.
Yeah, I mean, the Desperados works. And I've had a lot of their beers. You can see them all on my YouTube as well. I've done bloody hundreds of them. In terms of that, yes, you can. Similarly to Corona, you can put a little bit of lime in the neck of the bottle and drink the normal Desperados with a bit of lime through the neck, and it tastes more or less like Corona, but with tequila.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that can only make things better.
Who doesn't like that?
No, it's true, interestingly enough. Yeah, and like I said, the one you referred to there, I haven't tried that. So many, many years ago, I had it in the States, and it was a Budweiser with Clamato in it, which is tomato and clam juice, and it tasted fishy and tomatoey. And yes, that probably was worse than the Duchess. Yeah, dude, honestly, it was really, really great.
That doesn't even sound like it should work.
No.
Forget the fact that it might not, but it actually doesn't even sound like it could.
It didn't. It was bloody awful. So Stuart's chipped in. He's got a question for you. So he says, final question. God bless him. He's been vociferous tonight with his questioning. What new beers should we all look out for? So if you're listening to this podcast, you're looking at trying something a little bit different. Give us an entry-level beer that you think would be good. And then something a little bit more peculiar.
To be honest with you, I really don't know. I mean, it's hard to say because, again, you know, people like Tiny Rebel, Brewdog are always bringing out new beers that trend very quickly. So they're probably ones to look out for, sort of your craft beers, you know, and you'll know that they're trending because they're all over bloody Instagram. So as soon as you see like a beer when you're scrolling down and you see it like six times in a row, you know, it's trending. But yeah, I can't really say what to look out for, but my advice would be, go and try something that you would not normally try. So if you see, I don't know, a double IPA, go and try it. You know, if you see a New England IPA and you've never had one, go and try it. And it's the only real way to know, you know, what beer you think is going to be good or upcoming in the future.
And it's strange because, you know, I say back in the day, go back 10 years, you know, I didn't know what a triple hop, what a double dipper, what a, you know, and so you go out and you try the different things, you think, oh, actually, that's decent, I like that. And you do build up a bit of a repertoire in terms of, I was always one for, I know what I like and I like what I know, so I wouldn't really try anything different. Yet, these guys, you know, in particular sort of Andy and Adam, you know, they've sort of broadened my horizons, and they thought, well, try this, and actually you've got a different version of this, and you like that drink, but actually there's a different version of that. You've got your trip, you know, like your Duvel. You know, I love the Citra. The Citra is beautiful, and I'd never have tried that had I not tried the original Duvel. And then you've got Delirium, and you've got a couple of different types of Delirium beer and stuff. So just, I suppose, echo what you've just said. Just go out and try. And you know, if you don't like it, you haven't really lost anything, have you? You know, but if you do like it, then great. Happy days.
Yeah. So you mentioned one company there then when you're scrolling through that tend to trend quite quickly, BrewDog. I know every beer reviewer has their opinion on them. Let's hear yours.
I used to like them as a company, and I used to like their beers, but I think in recent years, and I think I've already stated this before, that they've gone downhill. I believe now they're just rushing beers out, making any old rubbish up, and they're sending them out. Purely just to get money. And I don't think that's fair on the consumers because, you know, it seems like they're making the same style but slapping a different name on the can. So it's like a New England IPA, but they'll call it like absolutely fabulous. The next one comes out, it's like fucking, I don't know, jungle juice or some shit. And you're thinking, oh, that's nice. You go and buy it and you think, that just tastes exactly the same as the absolutely fabulous one.
Yeah.
Paying like £4 a can for this stuff, and it's just basically a standard New England IPA with a different name on it. And I'm like, dude, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Do you know, I want something that's different. I don't want the same old shit. You know, BrewDog are very good at brewing beer. They're very good at different styles, but within the last 2 years, 3 years even, they've just basically on a conveyor belt, just throwing them out any old hour. No fault into the beer.
It's strange because, you know, they brought out Lost. And it was like, that's actually not really any different. It's like, what is that? I mean, I quite like, BrewDog did a collaboration with Michela and they did Urban Fog, and I really like that. I really like that drink, and it's beautiful. And you look at what BrewDog have done, and I know they've done this like every can or beer will plant a tree or whatever, you know, and that's fine. And we went through a phase of, we didn't do a podcast without mentioning BrewDog, did we, really, at some point? So
not much good to say about them.
No, it wasn't great. But, you know, that Lost, it just, nothing sets it aside. It's no different than thousands of other beers that are out there. Do you know what I mean? I don't know what your thoughts are on that, but it's just no different. There's just no, it does, to me, it doesn't seem as though there's a USP other than, you buy a beer, we plant a tree. You know what I mean? That and there's nothing to do with the taste of it. It doesn't set it aside. It's just another beer.
Yeah. You just pay the name, aren't you? It's just because it's BrewDog. People think, oh, it's BrewDog, it's going to be good. And like you said, it's just a generic beer. And it's like, oh, actually.
Yeah. There doesn't seem as though there's, and I'm sure there has, even though you can't really taste it, but it doesn't seem there's been any thought going into actually what do we want this to taste like. It's just like just another, we'll just brew it as quick as we can and just get it out there, and we'll market it in that nice silvery goldy can, and people will buy it, and you're just like, yeah, really, it's all right, but it's not different.
There is one that they market slightly differently, and I'd be interested to get your opinion on this one, because they're really going after Guinness with it. Black Heart. What do you make of that one, dude?
Right, I've got a bone to pick with that. This isn't a new beer, by the way. You know, I don't know what's going on here, but people, and it's pissed me off a little bit because people went mental for it, and they're like, "Oh, it's a brand new beer. Oh my god, it's better than Guinness. Oh, it tastes great. Ready, ready, ready." It's not. I reviewed this beer about 6 years ago under the same name, but they've remarketed it, you know, up until lately as Jet Heart Black Nitro. But when I had it, it was just under Jet Heart Black, and it was an oatmeal stout that was pretty mediocre, about 4%, I think it was, or something like that. And then fast forward 6-7 years later, they've reintroduced it, but as a nitro beer, and then they're trying to big it up to be better than Guinness. And I'm just like, so what you've done is failed on the first attempt, remarketed it, captured everyone's imagination, and everyone's going fucking mental for it. I'm like, it's the same fucking beer that's just been chilled even further. Like, there is no difference.
You see, I haven't tried it, and I know you have. And Adam, we've got a, myself, Adam, Andy, Dave, we've got a WhatsApp group, and Adam posted it saying that he tried it, and I haven't. And I like Guinness. I'm not a, it's strange, and it's a bit of a juxtaposition, I suppose. I quite like Guinness, but I'm not a huge stout fan, but I do like Guinness. And you posted it, didn't you, and sort of said, oh, I'll try this, and I haven't, so I'm going to reserve judgment, but I would find it hard to think that it tastes better than Guinness. But is that just because I'm a bit of a Guinness snob and I quite like the taste of Guinness? I don't know. Do you know what I mean?
I don't see it ending well for BrewDog in that market. You know, Guinness have got it covered.
Yeah, they have got it covered, yeah.
But there's another new boy. There's another new boy in that area as well, and I've tried to get my hands on this beer, but it sells out really, really quickly wherever it goes. Conor McGregor and his Forged Stout. Have you tried that one?
I didn't even know he bought one out, so that'll be interesting.
I know. Obviously, I quite enjoy watching MMA and stuff, and I know he's done his proper 12, and he's got his whiskies and stuff. So, and did I know that he branched out? Maybe I couldn't tell you what it was like. Haven't tried it. Haven't even seen it. So.
No, well, Asda, it's only available in Asda, I think, in the UK at the moment. It's in 350 Asda stores, and I have tried quite a few times to get my hands on it, but that stuff sells out super, super quickly. Now, just have to bring something up as well, because our pal Ian Bethwaite is coming on there with recent government tax duty changes and also energy costs increasing production costs. Have you noticed an ABV reduction on any of your favourite beers, and has that stopped you from drinking them?
Yeah, I know. I noticed this years before this has even happened. And again, I've covered this about 2-3 years ago on one of my videos. You know, I'll use Stella Artois as an example, because that's probably familiar with. Used to be when it was classic wife beater stuff, when it used to be 5.2, had a bit of a twang to it, whether that was chemical or natural, I still don't know to this day. I really liked it. And then they reduced it down to about 5%. Without the twang, and it was a little bit more milder, a bit more watery, and now it's like 4.9, and it's now even more watery, and I was just like, what the hell is this? What have you done to Stella? So Stella, I won't touch it anymore. I don't drink it. I absolutely hate it. On the other side of the fence, you know, more recently, Left Blonde, you know, has gone from 6.6 to 6%, now been bought out by InBev, and I'm sure the taste has changed. People have told me it's sweeter. I've noticed it's less herby, because when it was the original left at 6.6, it had bitter cherry, allspice, apple in it, and it was nice and herby and spicy, and, you know, they've lost that now. So I still drink left, but not as much. And for those who don't know, obviously a Polish beer called Walker, used to be 5.6, has now gone down to about 5, I believe. So that had a massive drop, and that got insanely sweet. You know, that I won't touch that now. It's like drinking syrup. So I was like, nah, you've ruined it for me. So, yeah, there are a few.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, our favourite topic of BrewDog, you know, that they've reduced.
Yeah.
You know, was it Elvis Juice that went? Was it Elvis Juice?
Elvis Juice, yeah. And then they put it back
up. So they reduced it. And then now it has climbed back up. But I'm with you in terms of left. I mean, as I said, you know, earlier in the podcast, you know, I really enjoy it, but when they reduce the ABV, you're like, it just doesn't quite. You don't like that, do you?
Taste of roast potatoes.
sorry, pal. I've just literally. Hold on. I'm gonna have to try this now. Just fill them with yourselves for a minute.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, they did it with Hazy Jane as well, didn't they, BrewDog? And then actually the Hazy Jane beer is incredibly popular with the different flavours as well, but the double hazy is what it was. His face. The double hazy is what it tasted originally, and that is a cracking beer, and I quite like the triple as well.
Beer, and what annoys me, I think if, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I mean, I understand that they're doing it for reasons, I do get that, but then you've got to remember these big companies are bloody loaded. You know, I'm sure they're gonna afford to lose a few quid, because what they'll lose, they'll make back anyway in sales. So really, what's it matter?
I said the other option is just bang the price up a little bit.
I just don't understand. Well, I do understand, obviously, because of economics and this, that, and the other. But why mess with something here? So you've got left at 6.6, whatever. Why would you change it unless it is down to import tax or ABV, and you can therefore get away with, if you import something that's over 6%, you're going to get taxed more on it. So therefore what you do is you reduce the ABV, which means that it's only 6%, which means that when you import it, you're not taxed upon it, etc. So I get the economics, but I'm just not a massive fan. You know, you have a beer, and the beer is what the beer is, and it could be, you know, I've tasted some beautiful beers at 4%, 4.5%. They don't have to be strong. You know, you taste some beers and they're lovely. Mm. And don't get me wrong, I like my 8-9%. I'm not like Andy, who likes a 14-15% beer, but, you know, although we have had one or two. But why change it? I don't see why you would.
No, well, they fucked it with Left. They really did. I think they ruined that beer. But interestingly enough, my cousin lives in Texas, and the Left that he is buying is 6.6 still.
But that, it'd be interesting to see whether or not there's a bit of a lag and a delay from the reduction in ABV in Europe and the UK, and then maybe in 12 months' time, it then manifests itself over in the US. I don't know, but
who knows. What I do know is we do try to keep these episodes to round about an hour. So we have to say thank you to Ruku for joining us. Hope you've enjoyed your experience here with us at Tall Boy Radio. We certainly enjoyed having you. Did you want to give a shout out to your YouTube channel? Tell people where they can find you on various social medias, etc.
Yeah, so you can follow me or subscribe to my channel at Ruku's Beer on YouTube. I'm on there doing loads of beer reviews. If you want a cameo shout out, I'm also under Ruku's Beer, so come and find me on there. Facebook as well, Ruku's Beer. And if you feel like downloading the old Podbean app for a podcast, where I am your host, it's Stewie Griffin, and we talk about sex, drugs, and rock and roll, then you can join me for that as well. So hope to see you all there. But thanks, guys, for having me. And it's been wonderful being on the show.
Absolute pleasure to have you as well, guys. Did you want to say goodbyes?
I've really enjoyed the episode, really enjoyed the crack. Ruka, obviously, you know, he knows his beer and he knows what he's talking about. I really wish he still did the Sunday night check-ins or whatever it was, the chill out, because that sounded like phenomenal.
Sounds good.
And it's a shame you don't do them anymore, because it would have been ace to sort of bob in every now and then. But no, look, loved having you on, loved chatting about beer, and it's a topic that, you know, we hold close to our hearts and close to our mouths, and we do enjoy it. So look forward to next time. I'd love to get you back on again just to talk to you about different beers of the world, you know, any new beers that you've tasted. So it's always a pleasure to have guests on our podcast, and until the next time.
Indeed. Yeah, so thank you very much for joining us. You're out there listening, thank you very much. And if you shared a question, then God bless you. Thank you for doing that as well. We'll be back next week with something entirely different. I think next week we are looking at past life regression, so it couldn't be that much different. Although, after a few lefts, I've definitely regressed a little bit or two once or twice. So we'll say thank you for listening. Take care and good night.